This coming Tuesday, we have our very last Alpha evening for the course. And so continue to be praying for that. And we have the opportunity. And one of the things we prayed for at the beginning of Alpha course was that the people doing the Alpha course would go stay with us all the way through to the end of the course. And that has indeed been the fact that most of them have. We've lost one person as time has gone on. So that's a lot to be thankful for. And we have the opportunity on the Tuesday night to think about what it is that we do with the rest of our lives as people who've done the Alpha course. But today we've got week two on our Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask Julie in a second to press play on the video, from which she's a long way away from. But we've got another little interview. Last week we had an interview from an Australian girl about the Holy Spirit. And this is another one. Now, this is a story about a guy who did Alpha, and he does a little introduction about being invited to Alpha. And then he got invited to do at Alpha what we did last Tuesday night at Alpha, and that is we invited people at Alpha to invite the Holy Spirit in. And he gives us a little, I guess, a bit of a rundown as to what happens in that. So this is a little 3-minute video. So thanks, Julie. We're right to go.
I definitely didn't feel like I had a hole in my life that needed filling. I wasn't like, oh, I'm missing something. Is there more to life? I wasn't like that. I was like, I'm fine. I like my job. I like my life. And then after I graduated, I moved down to London for a job. Moved into a flat share. One of the guys I lived with was a Christian. And then there was like this niggling thing with this guy who I was like, yeah, what's this that he's got that I haven't got? And so the actual thing that sort of like challenged my life was seeing somebody live with more like purpose, joy, meaning than I had. And so that was like the trigger that made me want to explore it. And he was the guy who persuaded me to try Alpha. I was really nervous. Just because I'd never really been to church before, I didn't know what to expect. And I just didn't think there'd be anybody else there who was like me. And I was like, I want proper arguments. I want to like really get into this. I want you to persuade me. I want like the facts. I was surprised that week by week that it allowed me to sort of like wrestle with some of these things. And so when they said, now there's a weekend away, I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to complete this thing, then I want to go on the weekend and I want to finish it. And on the Saturday evening, we had this session on how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit. At the end of that session, the guy who was leading it said, if you sort of, rather than like talking about it, he said, if you want now to be filled with the Holy Spirit, put your hands out in front of you and pray and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I had this like weird moment where I was gripping the chair in front of me, like fighting with myself as to whether or not I was like gonna sort of open myself up and like put my hands out, and nothing happened. And so I sort of like walked out, and I thought, well, there's two explanations. Either God isn't real and everybody here is in some kind of shared delusion. But I didn't really buy into that because I could see that it was real for them. Or God was real, but he just didn't want to know me. So I went back into my little bedroom where I was staying. And then I was like really wrestling with it, and I, it's really embarrassing, but I was like lying on the bed and I started crying on my bed, like face down on the bed. And then I like prayed for the first time. So I sort of said, oh, like, God, I'm really sorry that I'm this bad, that you want to know all these other people, but you won't know me. But like, I think you are real, but I just want to like, I just want to know you properly. So I sort of got this sense that I needed to turn over in my bed. So I turned over. And then in that moment, somehow I just felt an overwhelming like peace. It was sort of like a deep down like joy. And I just knew in that moment that God was real and that he loved me. Like, it didn't answer all of my questions, but they just seemed so much less important. And so then I sat up on the end of my bed and I was like, well, what am I gonna do now? So I just literally flipped my Bible open and read the first verse I came across, which was this verse in Romans, which says, those who live with the Spirit desire what the Spirit desires. And for me, I knew that I didn't have to do anything. I just knew that God would do the rest, that I just sort of had to say yes, and then God would change me and transform me and help me to live this life.
Okay, so as we, interesting story, last week, it was a lady from Australia. He is definitely not from Australia. moved down to London, lived with a Christian and wondered what he had that he didn't have. What was it that his flatmate had that he didn't have? He knew there was something. Which brings us to this week, and how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I've just got to say that this is something that for some of us, depending on our church tradition or our denomination, may be something that we haven't thought a lot about. I know growing up in an Anglican church and then becoming a Presbyterian, for me, it was not something that we talked about a lot, especially the idea of being filled by the Holy Spirit. Just to give you a bit of a reminder from last week we looked at who he was and what he did, that is the Holy Spirit. And there were four main things that we were reminded of last week, that the Holy Spirit is God, but it's God with us, living in us through his Spirit. But also these two truths that the Spirit sort of brings into our lives as he dwells in us. First of all, that God knows us. He knows our sinfulness and our brokenness, and yet he loves us. And those two things are transformative. They're two of the things that those truths, those realities actually start to change who we are. One of the things that we looked at last week was we're actually sort of designed and created for a connection with God, and that happens through the Holy Spirit. And that helps deal with, especially the blood of Jesus, sort of helps us deal with the guilt and shame. And instead of being covered in guilt and shame and moving away from God, we start to move towards God through his Spirit. And there is grace and there is love and things like that. We're free from guilt and shame. Well, this week, to be filled by the Holy Spirit, first of all, and the Alpha course does make this distinction, there's this idea of having the Holy Spirit and then this idea of being filled by the Holy Spirit. And you could argue about whether or not Alpha is right or wrong, but they do make a point that is worth noting for a moment. I've got the Wi-Fi bars there. That's full reception. That's what we like to see, isn't it? We get nervous if it gets down to here, don't we? They explain the Holy Spirit a little bit this way. They said, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But that's sort of like low reception. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is when the reception, we go to full bars, whatever that means exactly. But just for a moment, there's some truths about that I think are worth thinking about. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Spirit is this idea. Now, it's interesting that Paul in Ephesians is talking, first of all, his example is don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, one of the things about alcoholic drink and drunkenness is that for some of us more than others, we are drawn to that, aren't we? There is something that draws us to medicating life with alcohol or finding release or comfort or whatever it might be in alcohol. We end up being drawn to it. For some of us, you could say, oh, you should stop drinking, and we go, okay, but then we would find ourselves with a glass in our hand again. It's an interesting analogy that Paul sort of brings here, because last week I said we were created to have this connection with God. And so there's an interesting sort of analogy that's working on a couple of levels here with Paul. One is that just as some of you, he says, are drawn to this and filled with it, he's also saying, don't be drawn to this and be filled with it. And so it's a much better thing to be filled with. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. That's one of the few times that we are told to be filled with the Spirit, to go to full reception, all bars. And so there's some truths that we can take away from that, I guess. First of all, is that every Christian, as Alpha Course says, quite correctly, every Christian has the Spirit. But there's something true for all Christians as well. Not every Christian lives as though they do. They have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in them, but the Holy Spirit is very largely ignored in their lives. They don't tap into or move towards or lean into the Spirit and who the Spirit is and what he does. Which is interesting because there's a further or an earlier before the quote that I just gave you from Paul in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4:30, there's a little throwaway comment by Paul. Where he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit in chapter 4, verse 30. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, I think it's actually to have that deposit there, but really not lean into or move towards the Holy Spirit. not to go to full bars of reception, but instead keep it on the one bar. In Ephesians 4:30, after Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, he then says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. What he says before chapter 4, verse 30 is, stop being nasty to each other. So notice what he's saying. He says, don't be nasty towards each other. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Stop being nasty towards each other. One of the things about the Holy Spirit, in particular, leaning into who the Holy Spirit is within us, is it impacts our behavior. One of the things about being filled with the Holy Spirit is where we let the Holy Spirit begin to have more and more influence in who we are. And so this idea of going from just one bar of reception to full, or if you like, filling your tank with the Holy Spirit. But what's the point of filling your tank if you don't drive your car, if you don't use the fuel? And so there's this idea of being filled with the Spirit, but it needs to be, that's because having the Spirit alone and yet ignoring the Spirit is not enough. There is an ongoingness that is required. So how is it that you can be filled by the Holy Spirit? Now, just to explain, I don't know if you know what this UFO-type contraption on the right is. It's a Wi-Fi booster. In other words, how can you make sure you have full bars of Wi-Fi? I've got a list of things here, two of them that we looked at last week with the idea of who the Holy Spirit was. But the first is to ask, which is what they get you to do in the Alpha Course. Now, can I say, before the Alpha Course, I had never asked the Holy Spirit to fill me. In all my years of walking as a Christian, I'd never done that. Nobody had ever told me, why don't you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And so it's a bit of a no-brainer in a way that if we really do want to allow the Holy Spirit who we've been given to have an influence in us, that we ask him to have that influence. So the first is to ask. The other two are things that we looked at last week. One is solitude, that idea of just spending time with God in quietness. That's when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak and influence and work because we're able to listen. Practicing the presence of God, that's just reminding ourselves that the Spirit is there. And a part of that is reminding ourselves that he is there to influence us in good ways. To listen to lean into. This one I think is really important, to be brave and persistent. To be brave and persistent. One of the things, I don't think I said it at 8:30 last week, but I did say last week as I was preaching about the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit, when I have been aware of the presence of God and sort of, I'll say invited God to be there, though God has always been there, but become more aware of it, I've never once felt in any way rejected by God. I've never had God go, no, I don't want to be in your presence. I've never had that. Never felt rejected, never felt judged. There have been times when I felt corrected, but not judged in the sense like, oh, because you've done that, you're no longer my son or anything like that. So never rejected, always felt loved, always felt a sense of joy and peace. And yet, for some reason, I still hesitate to come into God's presence. It's because the world is always conditioning me the opposite. The world is always saying, well, of course God's going to reject you. Look at you, Dave. You're a bit of a failure. You've got these issues. You've got these problems. So the world keeps telling me if I come to God or open myself up to his presence, I'll be rejected. But I want to tell you, he never has, because that's not who he is. And so there's some bravery required to show up to God. But I want to assure you and encourage you that it's always worth it, being brave and persistent in doing that, because you find yourself where you're supposed to be. And finally, to read, listen, and learn. It's helpful to look at scripture in passages like this morning, and we're not really going through the passage this morning like we might sometimes. What I'd hope is that maybe you might read the passage after this talk and it might help you think more about some of the things in it. But to read and to listen to others as they talk about their experience with God and to learn more about him is a part of being filled and what that's like. There's an intentionality about it. Can you see that? How is it that you're filled? How do you allow the Spirit to really start to work? It's by you being intentional. Intentional in allowing the Holy Spirit to do it. Notice you don't have to do the work of changing. And that was in the interview. I don't know if you noticed. But at the end of the interview, he said when he received the Holy Spirit, he said, I knew I didn't have to do it all. I didn't have to worry about all that. He would actually take care of that. I just had to be, along for the ride in a sense. And that's true. But we need to be intentional in allowing the Holy Spirit that space in our lives. It's just the same with all relationships, isn't it? And at the key to this is a relationship. Paul talks about, and once again, I'm actually going to Ephesians a lot more than John 15, you'll notice. But in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about this. Now, if you haven't picked up on it, the Holy Spirit is weaved through the letter to the Ephesians. It's weaved through, and we've already looked at two quotes that relate to the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 5, there's another quote. And I can't help but think that it's also connected to the Holy Spirit. He says, be very careful then how you live. So hear that? There's an intentionality that Paul is inviting people into. He says, be very careful then how you live, not to be unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So he says, do a whole lot of things. And he gives us some examples of some of the things we can do to encourage each other in our walk with the Spirit. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. That's just one way that Paul wants to invite us into in Ephesians 5. But hear what Paul is saying. There's an intentionality that is required from us as we walk with our Saviour. We should be intentional also in how we encourage each other in that reality. And Paul in Ephesians 5:15 is very much pointing us to that, isn't he? How are you going to encourage each other? Now, it's always hard when, you know, we don't have the right words in the technology to put on the screen. But generally, what we do on a Sunday morning is one of the things is we sing some of the truths. And Colin, for us this morning, chose songs on the Holy Spirit because that's what we're talking about. So we've sung at least two hymns this morning already that had the word dove in it, because that's the symbol for the Holy Spirit. But just reminding us through hymns and songs what it is that God has done and who he is. So I hope you're getting a little bit of a picture with regards to the Holy Spirit and the relationship that you can have with God through him. But it does require us to be intentional. But I want to finish by just looking at a little bit of what it looks like to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And we did touch on this a little bit last week. What does it look like? Well, in short, there's two things. One, less destructive behaviours in your life. There's less of that, but there's more of something else. And in a nutshell, it's love. There's less destructive behaviours, unloving behaviours, and there's more loving behaviours in your life. And I've given you some examples there. John 14 to 15, Romans 8, Galatians 5, 16 to 26, Ephesians 4, 29 to 5, 21, Colossians 3, 5, 17. If you were to look at all those passages, you'll see the same theme coming through with every single one of them. And notice you've got Jesus there, you've got Paul there as well in the other ones. And you can find it in a lot of other places in the New Testament as well, where there is a strong link between the Holy Spirit and living as a person who loves well. And living as a person who is putting behind them destructive behaviours. We looked at that last week, didn't we? There's two ways to go. There's the ways of the flesh. And what did we read about that? There's all sorts of debauchery and various things that come as a part of that. Destructive behaviours. They're symptoms, remember. But what does it look like to live or be guided by the Holy Spirit, as we looked at last week? We finished by looking at the fruits of the Spirit, didn't we? Love, joy, peace, patience. Well, across all of these passages, and you'll notice that Galatians 5 is one of the passages, across the board there is more love. Across the board there is more joy and there is more peace. There is more patience, there is more kindness, there is more gentleness. as God works in us. That is the reality. On the video, what did the guy say? He said that there was this deep joy, there was this deep peace. And one of the things that I've noticed as we've looked at a number of interviews across the last 2 weeks with Alpha is that there's this constant theme with regards to joy and the Holy Spirit and what it is that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. But you might ask the question, well, why is it that there's less destructive behaviours and there's more love? And we looked at it a little bit last week. Just to give you a bit more of a fill out that why, it's because you're in healthy connection with God, you're in healthy connection with yourself, and you're in a healthy connection with other people. The Holy Spirit is a crucial ingredient into that mix that makes the difference. I did notice while I was looking up stuff about Wi-Fi, because I was trying to get the symbol, that there's all sorts of t-shirts that you can buy, and some of them with pickup lines like that. Is your name Wi-Fi? Because I'm feeling a connection. That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. It's having a healthy connection with God, a healthy connection with ourselves, and a healthy connection with each other. It's actually finding who it is that we're supposed to be, where it is that we're supposed to be. Being as we should be. And we will find the symptoms will slowly and gradually change over time as we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. And so in our passage, and so I'm actually going to come to our passage just as we think more a bit about the why, we see that this impact, this is going to impact our lives in some way. Jesus says this, he says, on that day, now I don't know exactly which day he's talking about, but I'm pretty sure he's talking about the day that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, is going to come, the day of Pentecost. He says, on that day, you'll realize something amazing. He says, you're going to realize that I am in my Father. There's a connection, a special relationship, he says. I'm in my Father, but also that you, he says to his disciples, are in me. But not only that, he says to them that I am in you. And then he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father. And I will love him and show myself to him. There's this description in John 14 to 15 that you could get really bogged down in. There's a whole lot of stuff. I don't know how John wrote the notes, the minutes for that meeting, because it was just all sorts of stuff that went round and round in circles, you know. If you obey my commands, you love me and you love the Father and the Father loves me and I'm in you and you're in me and I'm in him and we're all in each other and we're all loving each other. And that's actually the summary of the whole thing, is unity. There's this union that is formed through the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, you, me, two things, love and unity. It's an amazing picture. And it's a picture where I look at my own life, I think, that's missing a lot. When I look at our church community, I think it's missing a lot. When I look at how we as a church community or as individuals impact the community around us, I think there's some stuff that's missing. Which is why there's a call for us today, this week, to be intentional. To wake up each day and ask, Heavenly Father, fill me with your Spirit. Heavenly Father, allow your Spirit to have influence on me this day. To carve out time to sit with God and say to God, I want the Holy Spirit to influence my life today, and I'm going to sit with you that it might influence me. Indeed, that you might even instruct me or tell me. We're all on this journey of walking with Jesus and walking with each other. And so I want to end, I guess just briefly, with the opportunity for us all to pray, asking God to send his Holy Spirit and to fill us with his Holy Spirit. I mentioned ask was the first and obvious thing. Do you know, Jesus is really, really clear on this. There's a passage in Luke 11 where he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Remember that passage? Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened to you. There's a whole bunch of things there, but he's saying ask and it will be given. He goes on to say, for everyone who asks, receive. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened, etc. But ask and you will receive, he says. And then he goes on to talk about how good the Heavenly Father is compared to our earthly fathers. And he says, if you then, as earthly fathers, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give? And he's quite explicit. Suddenly we find out what all this is about. He says, heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Jesus has been talking for some time about asking and knocking and receiving and doors being opened, and it's a little bit unclear. And then he talks about dads and what they give and all this sort of stuff, and it's a bit unclear as to what's being asked for. And some people actually interpret all of that as, well, you can ask for anything, and then we find out right at the end it's about the Holy Spirit. So we've got the opportunity right now, as I pray, to ask again perhaps, and maybe for you it might be the first time, that we might be filled with his Spirit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death and his resurrection, and we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the promise of a counselor, of a comforter, of an advocate. And we thank you for this opportunity now, where each and every moment, this present moment, we have the opportunity to be influenced by you, to move towards you, to lean into what it is that you offer. And so, Lord, as we come before you now, we ask again, or perhaps for the first time this morning, Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we have a sense of your love and your joy and your peace. May patience, kindness and gentleness and self-control be the things that mark our lives. Lord, each day fill us. Each day remind us to come to you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would indeed influence us and change us as individuals, but also that you would influence and change us as a church, that we might be used by you to influence and change this world. We ask these things with the desire to see your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.